Okay, so in this week's parsha, we have Yaakov blessing his grandchildren, Ephraim and Menashe, and we know that there's a widespread minug that we take this formulation, and there's a minug to bless our children on Friday night, and we preface it with the Simcha Elohim, Kephraim Uchem Menashe. So I just want to speak a little bit about this minug, where it came from. So according to an article I found in the journal Taleo, wrote Chet by Chaya Fisherman. I don't know who she is. She claims, she traces it back, that the first appearance of this minhag is in the Sefer Ma'avar Yabok by the 17th century Kabbalist Rav Aharon of Modena. And then she traces that from there, within the next 100 years, you find residents of it from different places in Europe, all the way to Tayman, right, all the way to Yemen. So you find it across the world, and this becomes a widespread minhag. Now, some people only have the minhag to do it Erev Yom Kippur. Some people do it every Friday night. Apparently, there were people, though I have never heard of this minhag, who then bless little children again in the morning of Shabbos, and then again at Havdalah. Anyone have this minhag? No. I've never heard of it before until I read this article. But this minhag is relatively widespread. There were some where only the father did it, some where the mother did as well. Apparently, there were some who even had the minhag that teachers would bless their students on Friday night, even the married ones. Different reasons are given for this minhag, why specifically Friday night we would do this. So amongst the Kabbalistic reasons that are given, in the original, in Ma'avar Yabok, and in the later Kabbalistic Svarim that quote it, are that we have a neshama yesera on Shabbos, and therefore we have an extra neshama which is pure, and therefore it has the ability to bless people in a way that we couldn't during the week. Other Kabbalistic reasons that are given is that the Satan does not try to accuse us on Shabbos, he takes a break, and therefore it's a particularly auspicious time for us to bless our children. There are also rationalist reasons that are given. The Chasam Sofer and Etshuva argues that the reason that we do it on Friday night is because the whole week we're stressed out and we're running around and we end up yelling at our children and maybe, you know, we want to curse our children. Then Friday night comes, everything's calm, so now it's time to fix it a little bit. And we try to create an atmosphere of peace and we bless our children to undo the damage that we did during the week. And so this minhag, right, is pretty widespread and has nice ideas behind it. And you can look at this article where she traces it, right, this whoever exactly this is, she traces it from the original and different reasons that were given for the practice throughout the generations. Now, there are some halachic concerns that come up. Right? The minhag is to say, Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Mechem Menashe, and then we say Yivarechecha, and we say the bracha of the Kohanim. Now, there's a potential problem with doing that, because ostensibly that bracha is meant only for the Kohanim. So how is it that we can do it? So different suggestions are given. The Bach, and this is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah as well as a suggestion, argues that the only time it is forbidden to give the bracha of the Kohanim if you are not a Kohen is if you do it with two hands, the way the Kohanim do. And therefore the Bach argues that when you do it, you should not put both hands on your child's head, which is in fact the minhag that's brought down in the Siddur of the Gra and others. The Mishnah Berurah and the Kaf HaChaim go in a different direction though. The Mishnah Berurah in the Ber Halacha and argues that since, I'll give one more explanation before that. Tosfos and Shabbos argues that you only violate the prohibition if you say the bracha first, and since we obviously don't say the bracha, so it's not a problem. Mishnah Berurah and the Kaf HaChaim say that if you have kavana not to do the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, then it's not a problem. And he says, since we specifically do it outside the context of Tefillah, we do it Friday night in our homes, everyone knows we're not doing it the way that the Kohanim do in Shul, therefore they assume it's not a problem. Rav Yitzchak Lapranti, in the middle of the 18th century, wrote an encyclopedia of halacha, of minna, called Pachad Yitzchak, and there he brings that already in his time there was a machlokes amongst people whether or not you could put both hands on your child's head. He quotes some who, he writes, Hamidaktikim, would not do it, but his personal practice was, in fact, to put both of his hands on the child's head for whatever reason, again, the reason of the Shabrua, the reason of Tosvos, and assume that it was not a problem. But that's one of the halachic issues that does come up. Now, just one more issue that comes up, which is interesting, is we mentioned that there were different minhagim. Do you bless? Does it the father bless? Does the mother also bless? Do the teachers bless? There was even, I don't know if I mentioned this before, there was even a minhag, apparently the Kohanim would do it in shul before you left shul on Shabbos. The question is, what when you're blessing the daughters, which apparently was also part of the original minhag, so what do you say to your daughters? So we know that many of us use the girsa that is in our svarim, which is, right, Yisimech Elokim, Kisar Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, which is found in some of the, again, she quotes in this article that it is found in several of the early siddurim, not in the earliest of them, but it is found in some of them. But there were some who challenged this formulation and thought it wasn't the best. I know of, I think, two people who actually changed it. But I think most people do use their girsa, and I don't know why it's such a big deal. It's a minhag to begin with. But Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin does have a problem with it. He writes a short piece. I think it was originally published in Kolech. He republished it in his book on Tzniut. At the back, he has a few short articles. And there he raises several problems with this formulation for daughters. The first he notes is that it has no source in the Psukim, as opposed to Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Uchem Nashe, which is from this week's Parsha. This has no source. Second of all, he notes that grammatically it's not actually parallel, because we say Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Vichem Nashe, and here people say Yisimech Elokim Kesar Rivka Rachel Valea without the Chaf in between. We just have a list of four people, and also, right, it's not parallel, right? We don't bless our sons based on the Avot. We based it on Ephraim and Menashe, based on a Pasuk, and here we come up with this bracha based on the Imahot, so he doesn't know where it's from. So he comes up with a different formulation, and he prefers, based on the Pasuk in Rus, in Perek Dalet, that you should say Yisimech Elokim Ki Rachel Ukeleah Asher Banu Shtehen et Beit Yisrael, which was the bracha that was given to Rus, so that you will be paralleling a model that is found somewhere in Tanakh. He also notes that the benefit of his formulation is that the bracha of Kefraim Uchemenashe seems to be that we're blessing all children, that they have the healthy relationship of siblings that Ephraim and Menashe had, and Rachel and Leah slowly, after those, you know, sort of beginning issues, seem to have built a better relationship, Behem Sheikh. So he argues that it's a better bracha to say specifically Rachel and Leah, because it gets the advantage of the Ephraim and Menashe model to speak specifically about siblings. Then he just notes at the end that even if you don't like it, right, you grew up with Sarah Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, of Yaakov Emden in the Seder Yaivitz notes that since it's a minhag to begin with, you can add to it, you can subtract to it, you can add whatever you want. So he said to do both, right? Do the other one, because why not? And here I've provided you with a model from the Bible. Again, I don't know anyone who does this, though my wife had a friend who said when they had their daughter, they tried to come up with a formulation without knowing Rav Henkin's thing, and they ended up thinking of this formulation, then finding that Rav Henkin said it. So to date, I know of two people who use this formulation, but just to throw that out there,